Yeah, much rather I deal with a bunch of potheads than deal with somebody who's on dust.
I'd like to call the Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct to order. We're here today for further proceedings on a hearing related to the complaint filed by Senator Sandy Pappas against Senator Jeff Michel. I'd just like to take a couple of minutes with the agenda. We want to do a brief review of the previous hearing. At that hearing on March 23rd, the parties were given the opportunity to present the complaint and the response to the complaint, and including the opportunity for questions and rebuttal at that time. The purpose for the hearing today is to consider the action the committee may take to meet the requirements under Senate Rule 55, I believe it is, for action within 30 days. We don't see any need for further testimony from parties, and we have not determined whether to proceed with an investigation. At the last hearing, there were two motions on regarding the proceedings. One was made by Senator Ingebrigtsen that the subcommittee make a finding of no probable cause, and then a motion by Senator Sharon that the committee make a finding of probable cause. Each motion failed on a 2-2 vote. So that is where we were when we were in committee discussion at the time. We did leave last, I guess, April 23rd. At the last meeting, I did attempt to describe the difficult considerations that arise from holding these hearings at the same time the Senate is a defendant in pending litigation concerning the same matters that are discussed in the complaint, and the Senate must handle this unprecedented situation with great caution. I have offered the opportunity to make a statement to the subcommittee. The attorney, Dale Nolan, who represents the Senate in the legal proceedings arising from the employment of Michael Broadcorp, she has agreed to, to provide some guidance. I did offer Senator Sharon and Senator Harrington the opportunity to meet with her, and I know that you have both had the opportunity to meet with her. So do you feel the need to hear from her today at the hearing? I would take suggestions on that if you are.
Madam Chair, is your reason for having her present for the benefit of Senator Harrington and I?
If there would be something more or that you would like to hear or any additions, but I think that in addition, you know, it might be helpful for the public, but I just wanted to take any suggestions that you might have if you thought that it was helpful to have her.
Well, I do not think the presentation is necessary for me. I won't speak for Senator Harrington, and I would raise some concern that I've had some difficulty I'm having with the introduction of issues related to litigation, I guess, to the litigation becoming the master of this committee's activities, and I think they should be kept quite separate, and that there should be a strong boundary maintained between the influence, outside influences, as it relates to that case or anything, and the deliberations of this committee, the membership of which is selected to resolve matters related to a complaint of a violation of the Senate rules. So that is a concern to me. So just the invitation of the presentation creates a concern for me of creating a conflict of what is the job that we're trying to accomplish here. Is it to deal with a litigation matter that's not related, that is outside of what the responsibility of this committee is? So I think that's it creates a conflict for us as members of the committee.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Madam Chair, if I could ask Senator Sharon then. So you think that we could actually proceed through this hearing without creating some problems for the ongoing litigation? I mean, we'd all love to be able to do that, but the reality of it is there is a litigation going on. Obviously, this is public. Anything that's said here today certainly can be picked up by either side of the litigation, which I might, you know, remind everybody in the room that we are now part of that litigation, not just Republicans. Republicans and Democrats are. I understand that completely. I certainly don't need to hear from our legal counsel to understand that, but for us to think that we're going to proceed without potentially creating some kind of a conflict for the Mr. Broadcorp or the Senate is going to be pretty tough detail to be able to do that, it seemed to me. And I don't want to be conceived as, or have this perceived as moving forward without that in mind. We really have to keep that in context, because we are all now plaintiffs, or excuse me, we are now actually being sued, all 67 of us, so it behooves us to move very cautiously. So if we can do that today, Madam Chair, that's fine. If that can happen, I just question whether we can.
Senator Harrington.
Senator Fischbeck, while I appreciate counsel's presence here, I also have some real concerns that our mission as the Ethics Committee is separate from whatever potential litigation or other issues that will come up in the course of a private citizen's complaint against the Senate. And while we are potentially in conflict because of that, from my perspective, the Ethics Committee has a mission that it is supposed to fulfill. And absent being excused from that mission, I think our mission is still to find the facts and adjudicate if there was misconduct. I would point out that this is not a unique position. I think many folks have said this is unique or unprecedented, but I think this is the position that most chief executives, most boards find themselves in on a regular basis. If they, in fact, take an investigation and take disciplinary action against someone in their employ, it opens them up to potential civil liability and civil litigation. That doesn't relieve them of the duty to do so. To use a frame of reference that I and Senator Ingebrigtsen are probably most familiar with, as a cop, as a chief, you have a cop that may have occasion to engage in misconduct. You have to make a determination as to whether or not that officer did act in an inappropriate way and take disciplinary action. At the same time, you recognize as you're doing that potentially the complainant may bring civil suit against your city or against your department or against your jurisdiction because of that action. That doesn't take away your responsibility as the chief law enforcement officer or the chief executive of a city or municipality for going in, doing the investigation, and finding the facts and taking the appropriate judgments and actions to correct the behavior, even if you know that you may well be sued later on and that whatever you do in your investigation may, in fact, impact negatively your city or your municipality's ability to defend that suit. So I am concerned that we don't push these two together and say one is connected completely to the other. I think we need to do our job here, and then if the facts that come out in this committee are negative to the case, that simply are the facts, and I think we can do much about that.
Well, and Senator Harrington, I have strong concerns regarding that we would be damaging not only the Senate's position but individuals' positions, and I think they are intertwined deeply, that they are intertwined as we have these discussions, and I am very concerned, like I said, about the Senate's position and about the individuals' positions regarding this. And this is unprecedented for the Minnesota State Senate. We have not had this kind of ethics hearings during, while there's potential litigation. So it's unprecedented for us.
Senator Fishman, I agree, but at least it's unprecedented for me. I have been in three, this is my third, and this is the first time that this issue has been raised. So it's been a something that I'm trying to center myself on and to understand clearly. It's, and I think it's exactly in this kind of circumstance that we are challenged as committee members to determine, do we, are we less responsive to the complainant? Are we less responsive to the complainant's concerns about the impact of what that complainant sees as behavior that diminishes the reputation and the public's faith in the Senate, which is a high priority for us, I think, as members here, to try to address that, and that's what we're here for, is to try to maintain the reputation of the Senate as being a group of people that the public can trust to do the right thing under very difficult circumstances. Or are we a group that takes care of something else at the expense of what the complaint is asking us to do and asking us to resolve? And I am struggling with that, and I have felt the pressures that are being described here. And I'm not denying, Senator Ingebretson, that they exist, and that there may be or may not be, we don't know, negative consequences as a result of what happens here in this committee on another matter. But I'm trying to determine whether or not that is our problem, or if it's another problem that's been created. If it's our problem to try to protect or fix that by not doing our job.
Senator Ingebretson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator, I think the we've got the word unprecedented, you know, floating around here, and it really and truly is. I mean, we've got two different issues here that we have to move very carefully on. It seems to me, well, this issue we have to move on very carefully, or it could jeopardize the other one. And I think it may be somewhat irresponsible on our part if we don't consider protecting all 67 of our members here. I think the public would understand that. I'm struggling with this as well as anybody as far as getting it over with. The two cops on this side of the table deal with things and move on. That's how we do it. That's our world. That's where we come from. So I'm really struggling with not getting it over with. But I'm also understanding, and I think the public understands, that when there's a litigation in the middle of this issue, it isn't just business as normal. I mean, it just isn't, unfortunately. And I'd love to see that other part of the situation go away. If I could just address some of the things John talked about. John, you're right with regards to us dealing with potential cops that may be bad. We do have to move forward. That's really not a very good comparison here. We actually are not dealing with somebody that has broken the law. We are actually dealing with a complaint of a management style of a body of government. That's not anywhere close to somebody who you and I have been dealing with over the years of potential misconduct on, you know, against a person on the street or that was handled in a fashion where, yes, in fact, there could possibly be a litigation. We have to do that. I mean, we have to move forward on those kinds of things, because otherwise the perception is there that we're looking out and taking care of our own, and that's just absolutely unheard of. I mean, we just have to deal with that. This is not the same thing. This is a question on a managerial issue, whether we as a body think that we were all drug into some sort of shame here because of one person's management style. That isn't the same of what we dealt with.
Senator Harrington?
I respectfully disagree. I think this is very similar. I'm not necessarily saying that in my earlier example that was a criminal case. I think if it was criminal, we would clearly have some different lines of authority here, because there would be an outside authority that would be looking at it. To the best of my understanding, given the rules of the Senate, there is no outside. There's nobody to kick this up to. We can't kick it up to a court or somebody else to review this. We are where the buck stops as far as that goes. But I think your end point is where I was going, which is that there is the public trust, and that if we don't take care of this, just as you said, the public would assume that if a police department didn't take care of its internal complaint, they would say you're trying to take care of one of your own. If we don't take care of this internal complaint, I think the same thing could be said of us, that we're taking care of one of our own, and that is would be an abuse of our position if we aren't guarding the public trust. And I think that's really what this Ethics Committee is impaneled to do, is we are the guardians of the public trust when there is an allegation of misconduct by another member of the body. So I think we are responsible to take action. I don't think we can unnecessarily delay it without giving to the public the impression that we are taking care of one of our own, and I don't think that's what we're trying to do here. I'm not alleging that. I'm not saying that of anybody at this table, but I think that would be the impression left if we simply said, well, we're going to hold off on this indefinitely. That doesn't, to me, that would not pass the smell test for the public.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't think anybody of the four of us here are going to hold off and not you know, try and resolve this in one way or the other. But, and this isn't about getting off track here at all, but it kind of leads into my whole point here of when we talk about in the business of managing people, when an officer, for instance, and I'm going to keep bringing that back, when an officer, for instance, is relieved of his duty temporarily with pay until further investigation, that headline is written and read by the public so often, and so often it angers them because, unfortunately, they're taking their whole case from what they see on TV or in print media, but. There are those things and those perceptions there that I don't like and the public doesn't like, but that's a managerial issue. And then that's where I'm going here, Senator Harrington. It was with when I said at the last hearing was, you and I understand that these processes do take time. Personnel issues do take time. We didn't have, I should say, we in the Senate don't have the luxury of saying we're gonna. Put somebody on suspension with pay and further investigate. I think we have a different way of handling things, and we just simply don't agree with the way Senator Michelle handled it. That's what the complaint, I think, is addressing, and to make some kind of a accusation that there has been some kind of a rule violation because of his management style is second-guessing the management style. At best, and whether you know this idea of talking to the media and referring to it 3 months ago or 3 weeks ago, with his intentions of protecting people that were coming forward, we would do that same thing in our business. We just would. We do it all the time. We used to do it all the time. We have to protect the people that are coming forward. So I really talked around that, but I still think that moving forward with a criticism on management style is what this is apparently all about, and I just don't think that I'm in a position to criticize that, especially when I have some people that potentially could be coming on as witnesses or for or against, and in light of the litigation that we now have the responsibility. The buck does not just stop here. It stops here on this particular case, but it could lead to a larger situation, and that's the unprecedented thing we're talking about here.
And I think so what I'm going to do is move us along just a little bit. I think that we have – I've gotten the impression that we don't feel the need to hear from Ms. Nolan, and so we're going to move along. We have offered the opportunity to each of the parties, to Senator Pappas and to Senator Michelle, to give us a statement on any recommendations for further action they may want to make to us. But I will remind you, we've had our opportunity for testimony and questions, and so at this point, we're just offering that opportunity. Senator Pappas, if you wanted to give us any recommendations for further action, you can join us at the table, and we'll move on. And we'll have – actually, if you wouldn't mind
– sitting at the witness table?
Yes, please.
Yeah, fine.
Ma'am? To Senator Ingebrigtsen's point, one of the things that we
– with Senator Harrington, we will have opportunity to have discussion. So I just thought we should at least – this is – we were just kind of focused in on whether or not we wanted Ms. Nolan to give us a statement in. And I appreciate two former police officers going off into another – but we'll come back. I just thought we'd kind of focus in on this. And Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. As I stated informally or formally, I don't recall, I think based on what the request has been in the past, when a member of the Senate has given misleading statements, I think the appropriate thing would be for Senator Michelle to write a letter of apology and to read it on the floor of the Senate. And that's really all I have to say. I understand that it's been difficult for us to pursue issues around part of the complaint about when he knew what he knew. So I think it would be just appropriate to apologize for the misleading statements.
You have a question?
Every question.
Let's do limited questions. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. Senator Senator Pappas, early on during the first session we had, Senator Dean Johnson's comments were brought up or brought into the Ethics Committee. I can't remember by who, but nevertheless it was, and there was some kind of a, or at least it was implied that there was some kind of a similarity to what's going on here. Do you consider the same, do you consider the your complaint against Senator Michelle being similar or the same as Senator Johnson's Ethics Committee?
Madam Chair, members, the second part of the complaint, which particularly addresses Senator Michelle's misleading statements to the press, I would consider similar to Senator Dean Johnson's misleading statements that he made. Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, and I'm really going to get in the weeds here. Somebody's going to have to help me here, Mr. Bonner, if you recall this or not. I'm not sure, but I understand. If I understand properly, that Senator Johnson was accused of making statements to a group of people with regards to talking to the Supreme Court justices in the state of Minnesota and conveying a opinion, if you will, of theirs to this particular group with regards, I believe it was, to the marriage amendment or constitutional amendment that was talked about back then. That was before my time, some 6 years ago, at least that far back. And I understand the Ethics Committee on 4-0 was to find that, yes, in fact, number one, the Senate, I don't know if he was majority leader at that time or not, but it doesn't matter. Senator should not be conversing with a potential litigation, potential statutory language with the Supreme Court and carrying that message out to the public was, to me, very much in violation of what a senator should be doing and how they should be carrying themselves, and probably henceforth why it was a 4-0 vote to sanction Senator Dean Johnson at the time. So if you can possibly convince these four members that there's something similar to what went on with Senator Johnson that could be similar to what Senator Michelle management style on trying to protect whistleblowers, if you can make some kind of a correlation there, I'd like to give you the opportunity to convince us.
And Senator Ingebrigtsen and members, just as a reminder, right now we're looking for recommendations for what would happen. But given that you asked for a specific answer from Senator Pappas, we'll go that direction right now. But I think we need to focus on the purpose of having the parties make recommendations was it so that if there was ideas that we could come up with. But are we going – I'm sorry, Senator Harrington?
I just don't understand how that question is appropriate given the parameters that you laid out. You said we're asking for recommendations. Senator Ingebrigtsen doesn't remember the case. He's asking for the complainant to provide testimonial evidence in terms of how her complaint is it related to another complaint from a different time. That doesn't seem to me at all to be a fair question of the complainant, and it doesn't seem to fit within the parameters that you laid out in terms of what we were supposed to be doing at this particular part of the hearing.
And Senator Harrington, that is why I made the comment, but I thought we should potentially afford just Senator Pappas the opportunity, since the question was asked, to respond if she'll have the option. But that is why I was pointing that out, that we are trying to look for recommendations at this point. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, thank you. And please understand, I wouldn't be bringing this forward if it wouldn't have been brought forward by the complainant. That was brought forward in the complaint. Similar to Dean Johnson's situation, I wouldn't be dragging that thing out of the ethics book if it wasn't brought forward. So there was a comparison. I think she should give us an idea if she seems to think that that's of the same threshold as talking to Supreme Court justices before legislation even occurs, and then going out and talking to, I believe it was a group of clergy, which he was part of, and was found wrongdoing there. And if that's something that we can compare here, which I think is way off base, but the complainant has brought that forward, so I think she should answer for that.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I'm trying to be sensitive to your concerns about the litigation. I think in order for me to make a case, I think it's in my complaint. It has to do with what Senator Michel knew and what kind of action he took, whether that was appropriate or not, about inappropriate behavior in the Senate, which I think is very serious. I don't think I didn't feel that the whistleblower argument was very credible, since by December, most of the parties in power were no longer in power, so there was no threat to the whistleblower. And I think it goes beyond a management style, but it's a management responsibility and a very serious responsibility that Senator Michel, as the assistant majority leader, was responsible for. I know I'm being vague, but I think it's in the complaint, and I think that the idea where the cynical idea that politicians give false information to the press is not really true. We do not, and we should not, give false information to the press. Senator Michel was under no requirement to say anything whatsoever. If he wanted to protect people, then the better way would have been not to hold a press conference and not to say anything and refer to any kind of timeline. Therefore, the inappropriateness of the misleading statements, I think, need to be accounted for.
Brief question, Senator Sharon.
This is for Senator Pappas.
Senator.
In relationship to her statement about what remedy she is proposing, my question is, have you or are you willing to, have you recently or are you willing to have a conversation with Senator Michel about a possible resolution outside of the actions of this committee?
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair and members, I have not had that conversation. I don't think it's appropriate once the complaint is filed. I think it's up to the committee to have that conversation with Senator Michel.
Senator Sharon?
I'm wondering if you...
I'm happy to be consulted, but I think it should be a committee action.
So are you saying then that if the committee suggested that if we delayed action for a certain number of days, 15 days or so, in a request that you meet and see if you can find a appropriate resolution to your complaint outside of the Ethics Committee, determining what that action should or should not be, could go either way, you would be open to doing that?
Senator Pappas.
If this committee asked you to do that?
Well, Madam Chair, no. I said I didn't think that was appropriate.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear. I thought you'd put a reprisal after
I
saying
said
that.
I'm happy to be consulted by the committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, to that point, that's an interesting observation, Senator Sharon. I happen to agree with, I think what you're talking about here is some of these matters that, you know, whatever it is, management style or a problem with another senator, can be handled in a face-to-face conversation a lot of times. And Senator Pappas apparently is not willing to do that or never has before this committee hearing, this committee, or before the complaint was drawn. I think her testimony now is that she's never had an opportunity to talk to Senator Michelle and get it right in her mind that she really was wronged here. I guess we're going to continue to question. I would like to know if, since our last hearing, if Senator Pappas has had any other folks come forward feeling like they were.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, we're asking about the recommendations at this point. So if you have, for example, Senator Sharon asked if there was exploring some other options with the complaint, and just so.
Sure. I would just simply ask, just follow up on that then, to the point, is Senator Pappas, do you believe that would have been an appropriate way to write what you think was wrong with Senator Michelle by simply sitting down and having a cup of coffee with him and asking him or conveying your anger, not anger, but your potential wronged here? I mean, sitting down and having a cup of coffee and talking about it, do you think that would have been a bad way to handle this at all?
To that point.
Senator Harrington.
I think you've Senator Ingebrigtsen, I think you mischaracterized Senator Pappas's statement. She said she felt it was inappropriate once she filed the complaint. And I think you're adding additional verbiage to her statement. I think I'll let her speak for herself, but she was clear that she said sure. that she once the complaint was made, she did not feel it was appropriate right. for her then to take any ex parte no, conversation with him. I would also point out that Senator Pappas is in fact the complainant. She is not the person who is accused of the unethical behavior. She is the complainant here. And I think to put the onus on the complainant to reach out strikes me as a very odd place for us to go.
Senator Michelle. And I just want
Senator
to clarify
Sharon.
that, especially to you, Senator Pappas, I understand that this is not an offense, that your complaint isn't about a personal issue that can be solved over a cup of coffee with a complaint with Senator Michelle, and that's not what I was suggesting. What I am talking about is that Senator Pappas has a remedy on behalf of the whole Senate for whom the complaint is being issued. It's not her. It's an issue related to the entire Senate. And so the conversation I was wondering could happen outside of this committee would be whether or not together they could resolve a solution that would be satisfactory for the complainant, for the whole Senate. It's not just somebody saying something personally to her in a private conversation over a cup of coffee.
Just a point of clarification. Absolutely, after the complaint is signed, it's too late then. I understand that. I thought where you were going was, did you sit down before this and that precipitated? That would have precipitated either moving forward with the complaint or at that point in time saying, you know, it was her feeling that there wasn't anything wrong. It was not after. That's not what I'm referring to, Senator Harrington. So obviously that's way too late, and at that point the complaint is the complaint.
Are there any other questions for Senator Pappas regarding recommendations or potential actions by the committee? Thank you, Senator Pappas. And then we will afford Senator Michelle the opportunity to make any kind of statement on recommendations or further actions of the committees you'd like to add.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I guess a little context and then a recommendation. And some of this may echo our earlier gathering last month, but members, I continue to believe this isn't even about ethics, that this is about politics, and that this isn't about the reputation of the Senate, but this is about partisanship. And this is not how the Ethics Committee should be used. You are being put in a tough circumstance. You're being put in a tough situation. I appreciated at least part of Senator Sharon's line of questions, because indeed I did have lots of cups of coffee, actually with individual members who had questions over the last couple months. I sat down with Senator Bach and bought him breakfast. Sat down with Senator Bonhoff. Had a conversation with Senator Latz. And none of those members signed on to a complaint. So I, and maybe that was part of Senator Ingebrigtsen's point, too. I think we all need to be approachable and open to each other. And the Ethics Committee is certainly not the first place to start a conversation. Indeed, it probably should be the last. So members, I guess my recommendation, as prompted by the chair here, is that you dismiss and that you help revise and update, perhaps working with the Secretary of the Senate, perhaps working with the legislative auditor, that we revise and update our HR rules, procedures, in this kind of instance, talk about conflict of interest, talk about inappropriate relationships. What should a member do? What should a staffer do? Who do you go to? When do you go there? I think that would be helpful. I think that would be a service to the entire Minnesota Senate, today's Minnesota Senate, and also tomorrow's. So that would be my strong recommendation, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any questions for Senator Michelle? Senator Sharon?
I do have a question. I just don't know that. I think I can assume from what you're saying, Senator Michelle, that if I should draw the conclusion that you are not, let's see, I'm trying to be careful, that you see the complaint against you simply as a partisan shot.
I do.
A partisan shot, that there is absolutely no validity or merit to any of the components of the complaint at all.
There is not.
Senator Michelle. Thank you, Senator Michelle. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Just a comment with regards to Senator Michelle's advice to move forward here with possible changes in HR policies. It isn't just that simple, frankly. I mean, each of us know that personnel issues are not – I don't know that you can make a policy up and saying it has to be followed by this in X amount of days and this and that. Each one and every one is going to be different. And sometimes they can be worked out before HR gets involved. By becoming so regimented that you can't manage could be problematic, too. So I don't totally agree with everything he's saying. However, it would be nice to have a little more because we so often change. I mean, with so many different faces every election. There's half a dozen of us at least, or maybe even six or seven new members. So it certainly becomes a – It's not like the private world where they can actually set up kind of guidelines like that. But when you're dealing with personnel issues, you have to have some latitude to be able to make decisions, and you can't be that terribly regimented. You have to show that you're moving forward to try and resolve something. But that's just my comment for what it's worth.
Senator Harrington?
I'm troubled by Senator Michelle's comments. That by having coffee with a variety of folks on both sides, I'm assuming on both sides of the political line, that he somehow thought that was moving toward resolution, when the complaint really speaks to a violation of the public trust. And the statements made in the press conference were made not to just to members of the Senate. They were made to the general public. And that's why even a simple apology to the Senate would need to be done in a public fashion, because it, in my mind, is really when you misstate the facts in a public venue, you are violating the public trust. And the public needs and deserves to know what the truth of the matter is. And so while I appreciate Senator Sharon's idea of a compromise, and I appreciate that Senator Michelle may well have had conversations with members of the Senate. It still, to me, does not address the issue of what I see as a violation of the public trust. And I'm not sure how we resolve that by changing HR rules for some case that might or might not happen in the future.
Well, we have heard any kind of recommendations, and I think, though, that's where we need to focus at this point is what our further action is going to be. As I mentioned earlier, we had several votes at the last committee meeting, and so I think that's our charge at this point is how we what our action is going to be from here. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe for the record, I haven't to this day talked to the legal person who's representing the Senate. Mm-hmm. What is the legal the folks? What is our legal counsel saying with regards to us moving forward? What is their what do they want us to do? Do they want us to move forward with this, or do they see that we could possibly jeopardize the whole body of the Senate by moving forward? Give me an idea of what legal is telling us.
And I will make that I will attempt to do that, but and I may call on Mr. Bonner to make additional comments. And basically what we have talked about earlier in the statements that I made at the beginning of last hearing and today about the conflict of going through and having discussions in public about what kind of if things could be picked up and used in legal proceedings, how we're dealing with people's rights during legal proceedings and what we're discussing. Basically the management of it. I don't recall if they've said specifically don't do this, don't do that, but maybe Mr. Bodern can add to that and give you more specifics.
May I just ask a question of Senator Ingebrigtsen? Are you asking what our legal counsel in relationship to another matter is advising this committee to do?
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Yes, very clearly. What could come from this action of this committee, would it have any bearing on the other 66 members of the Senate who I'm worried about, we should all be concerned about? That's the question.
Senator, I think that it is the caution that we are needing to proceed with. I don't believe that in Senator Sharon's case, I think maybe you were asking if there's something specific that they said don't do that, don't do this, and I don't recall anything very that specific in discussions or in conversations that you can't do this, you can. So I would have to say that I believe it's the management of the hearing and how we proceed and what we are discussing would be the concern.
May I speak again? I want to try to articulate where the conflict is between us about how to proceed. I hear you, Senator, clearly saying that you do believe that issues related to a matter of litigation outside of this committee should have a bearing on how we move forward, and that we should what action we should or should not take should take into account that litigation and the consequences of what we do here on that litigation. You think that should enter into our deliberations here. It should be a part of what we are concerned about. That's, I think that's a sort of a synthesis of where you're at. Where, and you can correct that if that's wrong. The conflict is that I believe that we've been asked to serve on this body as members of the Senate, exercise an action in relationship to a complaint, and that that process itself should occur regardless of its consequences outside of this committee, regardless of that, because the responsibility of the committee is not to take care of another piece of litigation and the consequences that come from that, as awful as they may be or as good as they may be, but to address a complaint that suggests to us, and we have to find a, we have to make a ruling about that, that an action of a member of our Senate has created a disparaging perspective, has the potential of a disparaging perspective of the public on the Senate, and that if we do not act, that we just further participate in creating a negative attitude on the public's part towards the Senate. I think that's the conflict that we're having here, and it makes it difficult for us to move forward in terms of, on top of the fact that we may just about disagree about whether or not there's legitimacy to the complaint or not. We aren't even getting there to determine whether or not there's reason to accept the complaint or not. We don't even get there. We're sort of struggling with this other issue of, should we be concerned about this other litigation, or should we bar ourselves from that and do our job as been asked by the Senate? And I am in that struggle. And I've come to the conclusion that I've been asked to do something and that I don't get to say the context. It's sort of like, is the context of a lie make a lie any less a lie? Does the context in which we are in the process of dealing with a complainant about the public's trust of the Senate any different because there's other activity going on outside of here? And I've come to the conclusion that it doesn't. That's not our problem. It's been a problem that's been created in all of this, but not by us.
To that point, Madam Chair, thank you. Just for your statement of throwing out, are we going to be dealing with, or should we be moving forward with this lie, I think is out of line.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
Well, the perception is that you're thinking that we shouldn't move forward with the alleged lie. I think we should. I take issue with the lie part. There's no question about that. I think you and I certainly don't agree with the assertion that Senator Michelle was lying. But to
Senator Hickenbrenson, please, I would at least ask you to respond to what I actually said,
right,
instead of your reorganization of what I said. What I said, what I'm talking about, is the disagreement between us about whether or not the context in which this ethics committee is hearing should have an influence on our doing our job, in the same way that the context or the reasoning or the rationale for an action should have any bearing on whether or not the action in fact occurred. And I have come to you've come to a different conclusion than I have about that. We also may come to different conclusions about the legitimacy of the complaint altogether, but that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about whether or not we're going to proceed with a authentic ethics hearing in the context that we are under the pressure in terms of other litigation, and whether or not that should be influencing whether or not we do proceed authentically with an ethics hearing.
Thank you for being very clear and leaving the word lie, the allegation of lie, out of your statement. If that wouldn't have been in your statement in the first place, I would not have even made an issue. But it was very strong, the word lie.
Senator Sharon.
But I agree with you.
To that point.
Senator Harrington.
Part of our problem is, Madam Chair, is that we can't ask the questions to get to
our business because some members are concerned about the litigation. And as I said, that's not my concern. I believe the assertion is that the Senate as a body, someone has made the reference that all 67 of us are in jeopardy because of the litigation. I would argue that all 67 of us are in jeopardy because of the allegation and the public opinion that misconduct has taken place. I'd say we're equally at jeopardy. The question simply is which case takes precedent? And by Senate rules, we have 30 days to take care of our business. How many days civil litigation goes, I would guess that you and I have been in some that have stretched on for years. And that's not the way the Senate, as I have been led to understand it, operates. We operate with timelines, and our timelines are two that, as I read the rules, that we're operating under. One, within 30 days of the complaint, and that we shall investigate a complaint before sine die, before adjournment sine die in the last year of a Senate term. Those are the time frames that we're working under. The other case that is being referenced has an unlimited timeline. It could stretch out into the future ad infinitum. But we don't have that luxury. So I think because of the rules that we are operating under, unless someone has some other remedy, we have to take care of our business before the other business gets taken care of. And we are hamstrung, effectively, or handcuffed here, because we can't ask the right questions even, because we're worried about something that's somewhere off in the future.
And Sarah Harrington, when you looking at the rules, I guess you're, and just pulled mine out, and you're looking at 55.3 yep. regarding sine die. This, the subcommittee shall investigate a complaint by a member of the Senate in writing under oath received before adjournment.
Right.
So it does not necessarily mean that we have to resolve it before sine die. It just has to be, I mean, it would have to be delivered before sine die. That's what that, and then in 55.4, within 30 days after receiving a complaint, the subcommittee must meet and either make, it does not say that it has to be resolved.
I agree.
Okay. I just want to make sure that everybody, since not everybody has a copy of the rules in front of them.
But to that point, my understanding, and I stand to be corrected, is that because of other external decisions that Senator Michelle is not seeking re-election, that upon the end of upon adjournment sine die, our jurisdiction over him ends. Am I wrong
his,
in that?
His term would run until the end of the year, correct? Yeah, till the end of the year. He would still be a member of the Senate until the end of the year, 12.
Madam Chair, Senator Harrington, your point, I think, is that our authority is over a member of the Senate or a member of the staff, mm-hmm. a member of the Senate. And so at the point at which he no longer is a member, we no longer have authority or anything like
That's
that.
That's correct.
So, which is another factor that comes into play here.
Are there recommendations, any ideas on resolution? I think we've established where we're all at.
I think so, too.
But I think that any kind of recommendations for resolution would be helpful. Senator Harrington.
Well, I'm going to take a point from Senator Ingebrigtsen, which is that I believe that we need to continue investigation, that we don't have all of the facts, and that the appropriate and prudent thing to do before making any decision would be to continue the investigation.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
To that point, Madam Chair, to continue the investigation, the way I understand it, you have to show probable cause. Is that correct?
Actually, Senator Ingebrigtsen, If you a strict reading of the rules, no. It's just or proceed with its investigation. But we did vote on that last time. We did vote. That was one of the votes we did take.
That we proceed or we?
Well, the proceed slash, yeah.
Madam Chair, I think I made a motion last time that there was no probable cause. That was voted 2-2.
Yep.
What was the other one?
That there was. Senator Sharon made one.
There was never a motion to further investigate.
It would essentially. I mean, we've been using them interchangeably.
Yeah.
The issue of probable cause and further investigation.
Mr. Bonner would give everybody in the room the idea of should we proceed with an investigation? How does that move forward? Do we start pulling in potential whistleblowers? Do we pull in potential people that feel they've been wronged? Are we just wide open to pulling in for testimony, anybody and everybody?
Mr. Bonner.
Madam Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, there's considerable amount of discretion in an open-ended motion for further investigation. One option would be for the chair to meet separately with each of the parties and determine which witnesses they would like to present to the subcommittee to provide additional information they feel would be necessary for the subcommittee to receive. That might be one starting point. There are a variety of ways the investigation could be conducted.
I asked that question because I don't think we've ever been to that place in this Ethics Committee, at least the years that Senator Sharon and I and you have been involved.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, I think it was just before my time when there was potentially full-blown. And the ones that I can recall, it generally was dealt within one day.
Right.
And Mr. Bonner appears to have the history in front of him.
Excuse me, Madam Chair and members. There are a number of previous instances where the Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct went on to take additional testimony and conduct further investigation. The most recent that I can see involved a complaint submitted relating to the conduct of Senator Jungbauer. The Subcommittee met on several occasions and ultimately made a finding that he failed to exercise due care in distributing an email that promoted a press conference. That is the most recent instance. I believe there may have also been some investigation relating, I'm just looking for other recent instances, in a complaint submitted relating to Senator Dallas Sams. I will add it is infrequent that the subcommittee conducts further investigation. The tendency has been to find a way to resolve matters within one hearing.
May I make an inquiry?
Senator Sharon.
Also, under 55.5, there is a reference to, in order to determine whether there is probable cause. by a vote of 3 members, conduct a preliminary inquiry in executive session to which the open meeting requirements do not apply. Executive session may be ordered by a vote of 3 members where matters, and it's defined as relating to probable cause, are likely to be discussed. The reason I'm looking at that is because of the not being open. But it's if I remember correctly, it's recorded, and then that becomes available and open. Is that correct?
Yes, generally. I am assuming that the there could be some kind of determination that it wouldn't become public, but I don't believe that is a very regular, and I'm looking to Mr. Bonner a little bit. We could, if we wanted to continue, if the committee wanted to keep it closed, but not a very likely thing. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Madam Chair, if you're asking about the recordings of the
Executive session.
Executive sessions, the subcommittee has always taken a vote to make those recordings public. That's been the practice of the subcommittee after, obviously, the hearing is concluded.
Bottom to that point, is that only in the cases where the cases have resulted in a finding of probable cause, or is that in all cases?
Madam Chair and Senator Harrington, I should speak carefully here. I believe it's in all instances, and I can't I think the matters that were conducted in executive session may have been resolved before there was a finding of probable cause.
Thank you.
Senator Sharon?
You have to have a vote of three to go into executive session. Do you have to have a vote of three to get out of executive session?
I would assume so, Ms. Senator Sharon, just because that's a majority.
That's
it. Otherwise, if it was two, it'd be if bail on a tie, since we're a committee of four.
If the subcommittee makes a finding, then that would have authority.
Or if the subcommittee, I stand corrected, Mr. Bonner said, or if the subcommittee makes a finding, then it would end the authority to go into executive session. Recommendations. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Senator Harrington, you said that in the form of a motion. I don't know if you did or not, but I guess
maybe I should have asked Senator Harrington. I did not take it as a form of a motion, but were you?
That would be my intention, is to make it a motion for further investigation. I didn't phrase it that way initially because I thought we needed to have some. We were simply tossing other possible remedies or ways of continuing the process out there. So, but I would make that in a form of a motion.
Okay.
May I speak to
Senator Sharon?
Motion? Would you be willing to amend your motion to have a date ending on which the committee would reconvene following a period of investigation, for example, that we would move to some form of investigation and reconvene in 15 days?
Yes, I'd be willing to take that as a friendly amendment to my motion.
Senator Sharon, could you explain the reasoning behind that a little bit? I guess we would investigate and then, because my understanding of the process would be the investigation would be in a hearing, not done separately and then
it is done in public hearing. The investigation is done in public. Okay, I see.
Mr. Bodden, that would be correct. Or am I wrong on that? I guess I'm just not seeing why.
Let me just say that it would be in a hearing, but you would have to call the meeting, correct? The meeting would have to be called by the chair. And to be frank, my need for some dates is in that once we take an action like that, it does become really on the authority of the chair to reconvene. And so I'm trying to redistribute the authority for reconvening in the motion to more than just the chair.
And I have been informed that if there is testimony involved, it is it would be in public. Testimony would have to be in public.
I understand. And what I, you know, like Senator Ingebrigtsen, it's so unclear how this process proceeds. Who do we invite? And when is the first formal hearing? You as the chair could delay that hearing until next year, if I understand the process, which is your authority. I'm just wanting to make clear that you understand that we may disagree about whether or not that should be delayed that long. And unless we articulate something in your motion as it relates to that, then that's the course that will happen, that the chair then calls the first investigative public hearing at the call of the chair. And I want to make sure that that's what your goal is or your intent, Senator Harrington.
Do you care to restate it? I mean, given the...
My motion would be to move to continue the investigation into facts related to the issue of probable cause, and to do it in a by a date certain, no more than 15 days from today's hearing.
To begin or to conclude?
We can take another action if it's to begin on the 15th or whatever date, and we would be required to take another action at that time. I'm just trying to figure out how to keep us all involved in the process, decision-making process.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
To the motion, I would speak against the motion because we are in a probable cause hearing, and it has not been determined that there's probable cause, so there's really no use in my mind for going further for any further investigation. The complainant has stated what her complaint is, and Senator Michelle has gotten up and given his testimony, and there's nothing compelling here that other than the question of management style, protecting folks, was the wishes of Senator Michelle, may not be the wishes of Senator Pappas. So I really think there's nothing to move forward to, so I'd speak against the motion. Furthermore, I think we've got lots of other business to do here in the Senate, and in fact, I know we have a session at 12 o'clock. I don't mean to hurry this up for any particular reason, but I would like to reconvene this committee and stay here until midnight until we get it done. That's what I'm in favor of, but that's not the motion. I'm just speaking against the motion.
Well, and I would agree with you, Senator Ingebrigtsen. I don't see a need for further investigation, so I will be voting against the motion to further investigate. Senator Sharon.
I certainly will vote for the motion, but I just want on the record to say that there's not been a dismissal either of the complaint. There's never been a majority vote for probable cause, and there's not a majority vote to not find probable cause. So there's no finding at all. There is a complaint that has not been dismissed, and our inaction will result then in perpetuity for Senator Michelle, which I think is a serious consequence, an open, unresolved complaint. And I think we owe the Senate, owe Senator Pappas and Senator Michelle a resolution to the matter. So I will vote in favor of this.
Senator Harrington?
To Senator Ingebrigtsen's point, part of why I believe we have been unable to make a clear assertion or determination of a probable cause is that most of the lines of questioning that we go down to determine whether there was inappropriate action, violation of management rules, misstatement of the facts, are precluded by the chair and by the concerns about the litigation. The investigation in executive session would at least allow us to ask the right questions in a place where we could potentially get answers. At this point, there are lots of questions that I wanted to ask that I can't ask because I've been told that to do that will jeopardize other legal matters that the chair has determined are of priority to the Senate. And I'm not disagreeing with the chair that they are important to the Senate, but they do prevent me from asking the right questions to be able to make a clear determination. And by going into executive session or at least going on to the investigation phase of this, we could at least try and get some answers so that we could make perhaps come to some consensus or come to a majority. At this point, we're going to be deadlocked, and my concern is that, yes, what that ends up with is for Senator Michelle an ongoing open ethics complaint that will be in his public record for now until whenever. But more so than that, it also leaves a black eye on the Senate because it shows that one of our members potentially acted inappropriately and the Senate couldn't take care of its own business. It leaves that as a that leaves that both as an open question to say, did Senator Michel act inappropriately, and why couldn't the Senate take care of its take care of this matter? And I don't find that either of those resolutions are ones that I think are in the best interest of the Senate or the best interest of the members.
Senator Sharon?
We can call the vote.
All right.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
No, I guess maybe that's not debatable anymore. I'd just like to make one comment with regards to Senator Harrington.
We have going voted on that.
Going
on
into his... an executive session, is that part of his amendment?
No.
His motion is regarding investigation and within 15 days, as I recall.
That's correct.
I didn't know. Okay.
So you...
Senator Harrington, was it to begin in 15 days or...
To begin no later than 15 days.
Okay. To that motion, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Yeah, maybe I'm hearing things wrong today or something, but you talked about an executive session, Senator Harrington.
That was me.
Well,
he just did now, I believe.
He mentioned,
he talked
Senator
about
Harrington
going into
mention.
An executive session, and I was going to comment on that, but if the motion doesn't bring us into executive session, then I won't comment.
All right. Senator Harrington.
I mentioned executive session because there was a discussion as part of the discussion of the motion about whether or not that was a possibility within the investigation of going into executive session and what the rules of data would be in regards to that. So it was part and parcel of the discussion. It was not part of my original motion, although the opportunity to do that is spelled out in the rules for the Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct. So that option is available to us as part of an investigation is spelled out in the rules. It's not precluded by my motion in any way. And if you wanted to suggest that, that might be something we could consider.
No, I would not suggest that, Madam Chair.
Would you mind saying why?
What?
I'm sorry. What did you ask, Senator Sharon?
Why I'm not suggesting going into that? I was under the impression that he was suggesting that. I'm not suggesting it one way or the other.
But he offered.
Senator
he
Sharon.
Said you could. He would listen to your recommendation about
not,
that if you
I'm
want to
make. No, I'm not recommending that whatsoever. It is very clearly covered in the rules, so I understand that.
But members only for the probable cause portion, not for the investigation portion.
Right.
Okay.
Which is my recollection of my motion, which I now is getting incredibly vague, was that the investigation is, in fact, to determine probable cause. So that is, in fact, what this investigation is to determine whether or not we have facts that would bring us to a probable cause determination. When you asked me to restate it, I added in the probable cause piece.
You added it then.
In the restatement of the motion, since I really hadn't offered a motion initially.
So we've got that. So Harrington, right here, ask questions for probable cause. If you want to find probable cause, to move into an investigation.
No.
We've got
investigation would be to determine, to get facts, to determine if there is probable cause.
Okay. We're going to make sure that's written.
Can we play back the tape?
To move to investigate.
Well, I don't think he said that. But it has the probable cause in there.
And Senator Harrington, just as a now I think we've got that. But generally, probable cause, the issues are based on what's in the complaint, and your finding is based on what's in the complaint. You take those as fact, and you deal with those. So to have an investigation regarding probable cause is a little difficult for me to understand why we would go beyond the complaint, because the probable cause is one issue, and moving into an investigation, and that's part of the reason I oppose it, is because moving into it is an investigation into facts, not just the finding of probable cause or not a finding. So,
and to that point, is Madam Chair, is that the questions that would have been drawn out of the complaint were precluded by the limits placed on this committee. And so there were questions that would have come out in testimony, potentially either from Senator Pappas or Senator Michelle, about this that were precluded simply by we can't go down that line of questioning. And therefore, we weren't able to draw in all of the facts that were available. This would allow us in executive session potentially to draw out the rest of the facts so that we could in fact make a determination whether probable cause exists. That's my point of this. At this point, we are in a position where we couldn't ask the right questions to make that determination. And at the same time, from Senator Ingridson's conversation, he is unwilling to accept the complaint as factual. He's saying that he doesn't believe that those facts constitute probable cause.
It's right there.
But we are.
All right, I got one more.
Right, in so. Probable cause, right, you don't take additional facts. While you're making that determination, you don't look at additional facts. You take the complaint, and that is the basis for the decision. Now, whether you believe those. That's the question with probable cause, how you take the face of the complaint and what we're dealing with in the complaint. So I think going beyond into, you know, and bringing in facts to determine probable cause is not what we have been charged to do. We have been provided a complaint by Senator Pappas with information, with facts, we make our decision based on that.
To that point.
Senator Harrington.
If that in fact is the standard, then there's no point in why we took testimony from Senator Pappas and Senator Michelle. If all we are simply working off of is the written record like an appeals court would be, then we simply would have read the reports and made our determination based on that. That's not how the committee is operated. Since I've been a party to it, we have had their original statement, and then we have had the opportunity to make inquiries into their statements so that we can determine what facts we want to add into our equation as to whether or not there's probable cause. All I'm saying is that we weren't allowed to go as far in inquiries in the initial hearing, and that by going into an investigation, potentially we can ask the right questions so that we can, in fact, do what the committee would normally do, which is make those inquiries beyond simply the written testimony.
Senator Ingridson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To that point, just by way of dragging this on further and further is exactly what's happening here. I mean, I think the statement of Senator Michelle is becoming more evident and more true as we go on here. In our first meeting, we were able to question Senator Michelle. We were able to question Senator Pappas. I directly asked the question if there were any other staff members that came to her and were afraid of the activity that was alleged had gone on with Senator Michelle's not bringing that out in a timely fashion that might be protecting somebody. Senator Pappas said that there was nobody coming forward. I think after time, I think somebody would be coming forward. At least I would expect they would. That would probably be evidence that would have been brought to the chair or even one of the members. So to say that we haven't had an opportunity to talk to the complainant and or the Senator Michelle is inaccurate. We did question that. Now, we did very cautiously. There's no question about that, and that was really in our – the cautionary thing was in our face about the litigation. There was no question about that. But I don't think we withheld anything or asked Senator Pappas or Senator Michelle to withhold anything as far as the complaint.
Well, and we did allow them to present their cases related to the facts in the complaint, and that was the discussion and things that were going on. So, but Senator Sharon.
Thank you. There are three options. Two of them are not moving anywhere, probable cause or no probable cause. Those failed. The third is continued investigation. There's nothing in here that I read that suggests that the investigation can't be used for the purposes that Senator Harrington wants to use it for. I respect that Senator Ingebrigtsen may have felt satisfied that his questions were answered in the course of the discussion, but clearly I was told several times that the course or the actions or the information that I would like to have been able to gather would have been problematic in terms of the litigation. And they were important to me. They would have answered questions for me about probable cause that I wasn't able to get information about to affirm or disaffirm the presentation in writing. And because that hasn't happened, all I have to go on is what's in the complaint. And if we're accepting that, then it does rise in my level, in my way of thinking, at least a probable cause so we can move to the next step. Short of that, then I think what Senator Herring is offering for us to do makes sense, because we're stuck on one and two. We're not moving off of that. I can see that from this conversation. And the only other alternative, correct me if I'm wrong about this, anybody, is that there's inaction within the 30-day period, which means that we haven't honored the rules of the
Senator Sharon, we did. We met within the 30 days. It does not say that it has to be resolved within the 30 days. We have to, within 30 days after receiving a complaint, the subcommittee must meet and either make a finding of one, two. So,
okay, so that's the part. And we have to make a finding of one of those three. And if we don't, two of them we haven't been able to do. The third one is the investigation.
Well, no.
There's four of them?
You're forgetting delay.
Delay and defer action.
Vote to defer action until a certain time.
So, of those options, we have to achieve one of those options within the 30 days. And having failed to do that, getting three votes for one of those things, we have not followed the rules. We have not followed the rules.
Madam Chair, we haven't resolved the issues in your mind. We haven't resolved all three of those issues. Two of them we have. We're a stalemate on two of them. Mm-hmm. You certainly agree with that. We're now That's two.
Which two? Sorry.
Well.
You're right.
I don't know if they're resolved. We haven't been able to take an action on probable cause
right.
Either way.
There's no – make a finding of no probable cause, and we voted on that specifically, and it went right down. Vote to defer action until a certain time. We have not voted on that, or proceed with its investigation, and that was a probable cause vote that was taken that went down last time.
Madam Chair, I would argue that my motion to proceed with an investigation is not a probable cause vote because I have in fact explicitly stated in my motion that it is in fact to determine whether or not we have facts leading to probable cause. So I am explicitly not saying that it is a finding of probable cause, but that it is one of those options. And, in fact, it actually covers both of the other options because it does, in fact, talk about how long we can defer this to a time certain, and it does include the investigatory part. So in my mind, it allows us to do what the rule says we should be doing, which is since we can't get to a finding of no probable cause, the other two are the only remaining options, or we have a failed committee.
So, Madam Chair, Mr. Bodden, isn't it the motion basically to adjourn and readjourn at the call of the chair? If it's not, if we're not talking about probable cause. Or am I missing that?
Madam Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I believe Senator Harrington's motion included a 15-day time requirement that would require the committee to meet in order to satisfy that. What occurred at that hearing would have to meet the definition of further investigation that he provided.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, you have other questions? Or?
No.
Okay. I'm going to read this to make sure. So Senator Harrington renews his motion to investigate probable cause within a date certain no later than 15 days. That's correct. Seeing no other discussion. On that motion, all
in. Excuse me, Chair. May I be heard before you address that motion?
With a question? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Chair Fischbeck. We read Rule 55.4 as giving this committee three options, and we don't believe that Senator Harrington's motion is any of those three options. He's asking this committee to proceed with its investigation of probable cause. Nowhere in 55.4 is that authorized, and we believe that the language, proceed with its investigation, that is in 55.4, that's referring to the investigation of whether or not the complaint is substantiated by the evidence. And I think that's clear if you read it in conjunction with 55.7. That's the investigation that's envisioned by 55.4, not further investigation into whether or not the complaint rises to the level of probable cause. And I think our reading of those rules is substantiated by the standard. You don't need investigation into whether or not the complaint rises to the level of probable cause unless you need the complaint read to you. All you need to know is what's in the complaint. That's what the purpose of this hearing is, to decide whether or not that complaint rises to the level of probable cause, not whether or not there are other questions that need to be asked or answered. It's just a hearing on what's in the complaint. And you can all read the document, and you have. That should be the end of the inquiry, and then you should move to decision.
Ask a question?
Senator Sharon has a question. Senator Sharon.
For you, I have a question for you.
Mr. Mayor,
in terms of your understanding of the written language in the complaint is the basis for determination probable cause, based on how you're articulating that, there's no expectation on the part of any member of this committee to affirm, validate, or agree that there is an ethics violation. It simply is a statement that there's enough in the complaint for us to compel us to have further discussions about that. But it's not a statement that there is probable cause. There is guilt, I guess you would say, or there is a violation. It is not a statement that there in fact is a finding of a violation. It simply is that it's enough in the complaint for us to take it seriously enough to move forward with further discussion.
I think, Senator Sharon, I think that's right. I think the finding of probable cause, if this committee were to do it, is saying that the facts alleged in the complaint warrant investigation into whether or not there's been a violation of the ethical rules.
And thank
Senator
you.
Sharon.
And according to your interpretation of this, Mr. Mayor, it is that the language of the complaint is not the committee, by finding probable cause, is not affirming that there is in fact a violation of ethical conduct.
Mr. Mayor.
I believe that's right, Senator Sharon. If this committee was somehow to find
that the complaint rises to the level of probable cause, which seems remarkable to me given
aside from that,
that what's in the complaint, which is so clearly lacking in probable cause, then I believe that's right, Senator Sharon. The committee wouldn't be finding Senator Michelty guilty of an ethical violation. They'd be finding that it warrants further investigation.
Thank you. And the reason instead of pressing on that, Madam Chair and members, is that one of the issues that keeps coming up is if you find probable cause, is that a problem for the other issue that's out there? And my understanding is shared with this testimony that it doesn't, because it is not an affirmation of the complaint or a disaffirmation. It simply is saying there's enough in the written complaint for us to want to take a little closer look at it. And that's not saying that there is or is not guilt, or whatever term we're going to use here. So I think finding a probable cause allows us to move legitimately into really asking fairly the question for both Senator Michel and for Senator Pappas, who brings the complaint on the basis of the Senate's reputation.
Senator Harrington.
Madam Chair, the rules, as I read them, say we have our three options other than meeting, make a finding of no probable cause. We have been unable to do that. Vote to defer action until a certain time, which still presumes that there is going to be action have to be taken. Proceed with an investigation. This mayor points to 55.7. I would point to 55.5, that in order to determine whether there is probable cause, the subcommittee may, by a vote of three of its members, conduct preliminary inquiry. Simply what I'm asking to do is to continue the preliminary inquiry that dates certain. I think that is clearly outlined in the rules as permissible. I think it fits with 55.4. And I have been very specific to say that we are not in the investigatory phase of there's already a finding of probable cause, but that we are simply seeking to ascertain facts in a way that we can do to get us enough information to actually make a determination.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, Senator Harrington, you just went to 55.5 and you talked, but you stopped. I don't know if it's convenient or what. I'm not going to say that it is. But you stopped with the inquiry into an executive session. Now, is your motion about executive session or isn't it?
And as I said,
Senator Harrington,
I said I was open to that discussion, and you said that you were unwilling to go in that direction. So I dropped it based on your unwillingness to go there.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
It seems that you can, thank you, Madam Chair, that you can just cherry pick things out of here that you want to say, and I understand that. I understand the frustration of not moving forward here, but.
Well, do you support executive session?
But if you want executive session, then state that in your motion. No, I don't. There's not enough. I've said it time and again. There's not enough cause to move forward. Inaccurate information is what this is all about. It's simply about inaccurate information by a senator, and another senator didn't like the information that was given. It's as simple as that. And for us to go into a closed session, not allowing the media there, I don't like it. No, I'm not going to make that motion.
Senator Harrington?
To that point, the reason we've been precluded from asking questions is because there are concerns about public disclosure of facts that might impact other litigation. Executive session would provide a vehicle for asking the questions without having immediately real-time media inquiry into it. At this point, we are precluded from asking the questions that would allow us to make a determination in public session, and you have an objection to doing it in an executive session, and I don't know what other options there are available to us if we can't ask the questions in public session and you're unwilling to let us ask the questions in any other vehicle.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, I thought I was very clear that we had an opportunity to ask the questions in our first meeting. I asked all the questions that I wanted to ask of both Senator Pappas and Senator Michel. And now if you folks didn't ask those questions, then I say we just put them back up on the stand and ask the questions. But we can only ask questions that are pertaining to the complaint, and that's where I stayed. And if there was anything further, I even ask if there was something further. Are there other people that are, have been come forward that have been wronged in the staff and the Senate? Because that's an implication here that, that we're an unsafe, because of this allegation, this is an unsafe work environment. That has not come forward. I don't know where else to go. I'm very, very perplexed as to why we can't deal with what we have in front of us here by, other than by stringing this out, and it's becoming very, very obvious to me why we're doing this. And
Senator Sharon, did you have, at one point I heard, I thought.
I think we're going around in a circle a little bit. I know that Senator Ingebretson feels as though he was able to get his questions answered during the first part of these proceedings, but there were a number of questions that I had that I did not get to Senator Michel to answer because they would have impacted concerns that the chair had about litigation. So, you know, I was unable to ascertain the information I need beyond what's written here. And what's written here, I might have been able to take a clearer action, but the question was simply, was there enough here for us to continue to move forward and have an investigation? And for that, I'm willing to say yes, so that that we have an authentic process that goes on and takes, you know, many of us may feel that this has no merit. It's just a partisan process. But not everybody shares that perspective. And I think it's our obligation to make sure that it is thoroughly vetted, to make certain that that if it is partisan, then that's exposed, and if it isn't, that that's exposed. So I would like us, I don't know how to proceed if we don't get three votes for a probable cause to move into investigation, and if that's the only way we can get into investigation, and if we can only get an investigation with an executive committee, and everybody's refusing all of those things simply because you don't believe there's enough evidence for us to do anything. There's no merit for us to do anything, which is what I understand your perspective to be, Senator Ingebretson. Then we're going to be stuck here with a 2-2 vote. We're stuck with a 2-2 vote. And the 2-2 vote means, I'm just checking this with you, that we
are in a tie.
We're in a tie. We nothing gets done, and a complaint remains open. It's neither affirmed or disaffirmed for Senator Michel in perpetuity.
Madam Chair.
Senator Ingebretson.
Madam Chair, the complaint says that Senator Michel provided inaccurate information. It doesn't get any more simpler than that. It doesn't really, you know, to have a hearing for probable cause, I can't imagine what's going to be brought forward any more than what's right here. What could possibly come out of that? We can't even get past whether we agree or not that it was a style of management. How are we going to possibly, why should we possibly proceed if that's where and that's basically what the complaint is. Misleading statements that was written by the complainant. I mean, we just, I think we're making it very, very hard here, folks.
Just before we kind of went off, we were just about to take a vote on Senator Harrington's motion. Senator Harrington renews his motion. We all understand it. Moves to investigate probable cause within a date certain no later than 15 days. All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, no.
No.
No. It's 2-2. It dies on a tie. Motion does not prevail. Further ideas.
Madam
Senator Ingebretson.
Madam Chair, is it fair for me to say that we're basically stuck in the mud here? We're not going to get anywhere. So we've now voted 2-2 on whether there was probable cause, whether it was not probable cause, and now to actually move into another function that somebody believes is important because we didn't get what we wanted on the first one. So we're basically stuck. Is that fairly accurate?
I think that's probably the general opinion, Senator
Ingebrigtsen. Can we at least agree with that?
You know, if you're making that in a form of a motion, okay. I bet we could all agree.
Yeah, but you could probably vote that way. Maybe we should do that just for the kicks. So I guess where do we go from here? Do we adjourn now, go to the floor session, and come back? I guess that would be my suggestion.
If there is a purpose
this further, and if anybody thinks that there's more that we can do. You know, I don't know. Is it out of line for me to suggest that maybe Senator Harrington and Senator Sharon have some questions that they may write down on a document and hand to you, and you can make a ruling as to whether they're appropriate? I was very happy. Satisfied with the testimony that I got in the first hearing, and they apparently aren't. So, just a suggestion. Are there questions that they would put down someplace, and can we ask us at a next hearing to hurry the process up? I don't know.
Senator Harrington,
how is that not investigation? All I'm asking for is the opportunity to ask the questions that I was unable to ask at the initial hearing. That's the inquiry that I want to make. Whether I write them or ask them, I prefer to ask them, frankly, because I think this is as much about credibility as it is anything else. I'd like to sit across from the person who's making the statement and see their face when they make the statement. But all I'm asking for is further inquiry that gets us off of the deadlock. That seems to me to be, the only real available step to actually get us beyond where we are right now, is to continue to ask questions until one side or the other has enough information to agree, to get three of us to agree.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, if I may.
Senator Sharon.
I'll give you some examples, if that's questions that I would have liked to have been able to get answers to help you understand, at least from my perspective, what I need. There's two parts to the complaint, and some of the questions that I wanted to ask in relationship to the managerial process was, who was spoken to? What did they say? At what time did that occur? Who was involved in guiding in relationship to Senator Michelle's comments about seeking counsel and seeking input? And who was that? When was that? You know, the kinds of things that that give Senator Michelle an opportunity to prove the accuracy of his statements that he was making under oath. And we could have taken a look at the tapes that are in question here in terms of what was said during the press conference as to whether there's enough data there to affirm misleading statements. Outside of the discussions of the context of misleading statements, that's not the question. What context was this done in? The question was it done? And we were prohibited from being able to go down and get more information to help us understand the validity or the lack of validity of the complaint. And I don't know how delaying this is going to help us do that. I mean, I don't know if an investigation that's done in the public will not have the same results for us to say, don't ask that, don't ask that, don't ask that, don't ask that. I also want to, just before I give up the microphone, because I know we're going to probably adjourn here, is that I want to, under the rules of the ethics of the Senate, make a public testimony that I believe I have a conflict of interest in my role of serving on this ethics committee. And that conflict of interest is what we're discussing here, that my actions and the outcomes of my vote are related or being influenced by what the possibility may be for the financial implications or cost to me as a senator, to other senators, and to this Senate. And I think that creates a distinct conflict of interest for me in terms of how I am being asked to operate in this committee. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to be here and not try to do the best I can under those circumstances, but I want to say that publicly, that I'm obligated to make that statement to you.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Senator Sharon, can I ask a question? Could you be a little more clear about that? You have a conflict of interest because of the litigation going on. Is that what you're talking about? I'm sorry. I just wasn't. It wasn't real clear.
According to the rules, a member who is discharged, who in the discharge of senatorial duties, it's a 57 conflict of interest.
Okay.
I'd be required to take an action or make a decision that would substantially affect our financial interests or those of an associated business unless the effect on the member is no greater than on others and members' business clearing, shall disclose the potential conflict of interest by the following procedure. So what I'm saying, our discussion here has been about the consequences of the litigation on us as senators, on our body, our institution as the Senate, and on individual members named in the litigation. And when I start to be concerned about those consequences over the responsibility of executing this role, I need to say that and articulate that that creates for us a conflict of interest in the execution of our senatorial duty as Ethics Committee's members.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm not going to put anything any words into your mouth. So you do believe that potentially this could be a conflict of interest for us all to move forward with this until this other litigation thing has been settled, because obviously that's going to be financial. I think there's some, I mean, maybe I'm going to speak out of church, but there's going to be a financial lawsuit here. So what you're saying is that you do agree that this could be potentially a conflict of interest for us to move forward?
Senator Sharon.
I didn't understand the last part of your question, but I simply believe that when we're in the process of doing our business, that we need to expose conflicts of interest. It doesn't mean I'm not going to continue to carry out my responsibilities here, but I think it's only fair to say very publicly the conversations we've been having here and outside of here about the other litigation and its implications creates a conflict of interest for us as we serve on this committee. I think it's influencing all of us. You may not agree with that, but I believe it does, and I'm making a statement that for me it's creating a conflict.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
No. Madam Chair, if I'm understanding it properly, then I agree with Senator Sharon. I think it's probably inappropriate to move forward at this point with this particular hearing on that basis until that other action is taken care of. Is that what you're...
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm saying I'm capable of carrying on also. I have business. I'm in a business.
Right.
It relates to lots of different laws that we pass that I need to disclose in a public what my investments are, where we put our money, what my business is, what I do outside of here. And decisions that we make on a daily basis influence that. I'm simply obligated to expose that, to report that. It doesn't mean that I can't continue to carry out my responsibilities. And
your
I'm reporting
personal,
that.
Your personal things you're talking about. Right. Okay.
I'm giving examples of conflict of interest that need to simply be reported. It doesn't mean I'm not able to carry on in my responsibility. So I'm not suggesting that we do not continue our work. I'm simply saying I want the public to know, I think that that in the course of my actions, I want them to know that I may have a conflict of interest. I'm going to try to rise above it. I'm trying to stay away from, make proper decisions in that regard, but I think we have conflicts here. That's what we've been discussing.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Maybe I could ask Mr. Bodden if conflict of interest here pertains to the situation that we are in, this unusual situation that we're in.
Mr. Bodden.
Madam Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, first I want to point out a small technical difficulty. The printed version of the rules that members have before them, I believe, is the rules the way they were written before they were amended in this session. I think there may have been a little bit of confusion that way. I have the current, it doesn't really affect the substance of what Senator Sharon is saying. The rule on conflicts of interest remains the same. It's simply been renumbered. So I want to make that point. It is currently numbered at Rule 56.4.
Okay.
And it is somewhat abbreviated, but is intended to have the same effect. Right now, the way it reads is, members of the Senate shall disclose potential conflicts of interest in the discharge of senatorial duties as provided in Minnesota statutes, section 10A.07. And you can see that's also cited in the old rule. And most of the other text that's in the old rule is taken directly from 10A.07, so the effect is the same. And then what I would offer as to whether it applies here is it is written broadly. It says it applies to a member in the discharge of senatorial duties, and obviously that's the conduct of the subcommittee proceedings here is certainly senatorial duties.
So question, Madam Chair. So my profession or my occupation as a Minnesota senator could be potentially involved in a conflict of interest with a litigation that's going on in the state Senate by moving forward with this obligation of the Ethics Committee?
Mr. Botter.
Madam Chair and Senator Ingebretson, I guess there are a couple points I'd offer on that, and I would plead the need for a little more time to consider this carefully. The decision would have to substantially affect the members' financial interests. I believe that's considered to be personal financial interests. So I'm not sure that applies to the Senate's financial interests. Secondly, the other point that I would make is there's a clause here that basically says if it treats all members of a particular class equally, if the effect is no greater than other members in the member's business classification, profession, or occupation, that's in effect an exemption from the determination of conflict of interest.
Any other questions on that, Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Not right now, Madam Chair.
You know, it's interesting. It's what I'm experiencing and what I think our conversations are about. And I just think I'm glad we're having the conversation. I'm glad we're talking about it because I think it's true that when we're asked as an ethics committee to consider something outside of the ethics committee in our deliberations, it is just a blatant demonstration of the conflict of interests between protecting the Senate or protecting individuals in the Senate and protecting our budget against carrying out an authentic process of an ethics complaint. So I'm not saying we can't proceed because of that, but raising it to clarity and visibility, I think, is important to understand why we're struggling the way we are to move forward, at least why I'm struggling to move forward in this ethics hearing.
Session is scheduled to begin 1 minute ago. So we have to decide what our plan is fairly quickly here. Are there any further motions we want to make quickly?
Well, Madam Chair, with that discussion, with the conflict of interest being brought up here, which is very concerning to me, and it should be to all four of us, as well as the potential of all of us in the Senate. I mean, we had this discussion when we first came here at, I believe it was 10 o'clock, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. We'd had this discussion about whether we should move forward in light of the fact that the decision that we could make could potentially make here may have an outcome, or the outcome of that decision, and I'm not saying it will one way or the other. And I don't say that I want to run away from my duties as an ethics committee because I haven't yet in the 6 years I've been on it. I think moving forward is probably not a very prudent idea. So I would like to make a motion to defer further action on the complaint until legal proceedings related to the complaint have been resolved by trial through settlement, whichever occurs first. And at that point in time, we would be able to
call the question.
Okay. But I would like to have you say it again,
sure,
just because I didn't get it all.
I move to defer further action on the complaint until legal proceedings relating to the complaint have been resolved by a trial or through settlement, whichever occurs first.
And we will vote on Senator Sharon's motion to call the question. I just wanted to make that clear, so I didn't mean to not recognize your motion. But so Senator Sharon has moved to call the question. All in favor, say aye.
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 Well, I'm sorry, aye.
Motion does prevail, I believe. Well, it was three of us, so.
I get it. I disagree.
And now we are back. We will be voting on the main motion, which was to defer until a time certain after the legal proceedings have been resolved. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no?
No.
No.
It's 2-2. The motion is not adopted. We have voted on all three of the potential actions, findings that are provided for in the rules. We would be going in. We do have session. Is there an argument to come back after session? I guess I don't know if there is further resolution or I mean I'm open to other ideas, other recommendations if we have them, solutions, actions to go further.
Madam Chair, we have another question.
Mr. Mayor.
In light of the deadlocks on all three of the potential outcomes here that Rule 55.4 envisions, is there anything in the rules that would preclude Senator Pappas from withdrawing her ethics complaint?
No.
And would withdrawal of the ethics complaint, in essence, resolve this proceeding and allow the proceeding to close?
That would be my assumption, yeah, that if the complaint is withdrawn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May I ask a follow-up
Senator
question?
Sharon.
In that light, is there anything that would preclude Senator Michelle from talking with Senator Pappas about a way to resolve the situation publicly in the Senate in a way that was respectful to the Senate? And if they came to that agreement, would that then also terminate? And if it resulted in a withdrawal then of the ethics complaint, it would also terminate this meeting. So not only could Senator Pappas withdraw her ethics complaint, Senator Michelle could offer to make an apology for ABC on the Senate floor and also result in a withdrawal of the complaint from Senator Pappas. Is that correct? And would terminate this necessity for this meeting.
Yeah, if the complaint is withdrawn or if there's some other conclusion.
So it's not just on Senator Pappas to save us.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Right. Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Sharon, for that. And that's where we were here earlier, about just getting together and possibly putting this behind them and formally either agreeing or disagreeing, it seemed to me. And that would end the thing, but the idea of doing it in front of the discussion in front of 67 senators is what remains to be discussed. I guess that's where we're at. So, if you want to take care of that behind the scenes, that would be certainly their business.
And that would be the question.
Right.
That would be their. That's why I was a little apprehensive. We can't determine what would be determined, so it would be resolved. But I guess we are deadlocked. I don't know if there would be new information if we came back. I don't know. If it's the desire to come back and sit a while longer, I suppose we could, but I don't see, unless there was some new information or new ideas.
Well, on that, I know you want to get going. You're the president of our Senate.
Well, and both
Senate.
Of us have bills up today.
And do
both,
you?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I understand the consequence of not convening means that there's an open ethics complaint against Senator Michelle that's not resolved. And it's just that doesn't ever go away with the end of the session or anything. It's just out there as an unresolved ethics complaint. Is that correct?
To the best of my knowledge. But if there was, I mean, I would be willing to listen to new ideas or whatever. If someone have an open door policy, if someone came up with a different kind of resolution or different ideas, we could come to. I would reconvene, bring us back, but I don't know if there's anything that would happen at this point.
Madam Chair, I guess I would suggest that I'm open for whatever. If we get done with our session and we want to come back and try and resolve this, I'm wide open to that, just so the both all three of you members understand that. But I also understand we're at a deadlock, but I'm willing to stay here for the duration, whatever it takes to get this resolved.
So is it your desire to come back? I guess I'm trying to get a feel from the committee. If it is the desire to come back after session.
I can say, Madam Chair, I'd be willing to come back after session if I could see a window somewhere for us to go through together. I'm just not seeing that. But if you think sitting here and having time to further sort of beat on each other would get us there, I'm willing to do that as much as anybody else. If you think that some time and persuasion would move you towards a probable cause, I'd be willing to try to persuade you to that.
Would you?
And I'm sure you probably would try to persuade me. But
Thank you for adding that part.
I'm sure you're willing.
Senator Harrington, do you have any feelings on it?
I feel it's important for us to clear the Senate's name. I think leaving this as an open question doesn't do that. So my inclination is that we should continue to meet until we can bring forth sufficient facts to either clear the Senate's name or make a decision as to how we rectify actions that have clouded it.
Yes, Senator
Ingebrigtsen. It's kind of laying on your shoulders whether you're going to allow any other testimony or any other evidence to come forward. If not, we are at a stalemate.
Well, I think we are at, I mean, we have deadlocked on every one of the questions in front of us. I guess I am, I share Senator Sharon's opinion of, you know, why would we come back unless we wanted to sit here and have more discussions about things we can't discuss. But I see us as deadlocked, and I would, if there were other ideas or something that we were coming back to look at, I think it would make sense. But at this point, I don't see a whole lot of value in coming back and sitting at the table again until there are some additional ideas or thoughts on what we can do.
Well,
I wanted to make sure that Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess I have to get a feel from Senator Harrington and Senator Sharon. If they don't think that the process has been open and proper, then I think we have to come back. But at that point, then we have to start dealing with what issues that they have that they think they weren't allowed to question on the first go around. I mean, I was there. We were all there. If there's something that they want to do different.
I don't think, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I don't think the issue of what kind of questions are asked, I guess I don't see, I mean, even if we were asking more questions, would they be, would the information.
The implication is that they weren't
different.
Able to ask the questions. I mean, that's what I've been hearing from the two of them from the first hearing, so. Well, I'm very satisfied with the questions that I asked on that first hearing. I thought I made that clear.
Well, there certainly were concerns regarding the implications potential legal issues. But in addition, I think that there's an issue of they have further questions that they want to ask regarding probable cause. And we were dealing with the issues of we were dealing with the complaint. So I think there is some concern about not only the legal implications of it on the potential lawsuit, but how far we were going with an investigation.
Right. But I, Madam Chair, I had the opportunity to do the same amount of questioning mm-hmm. that they did.
May I suggest, Senator Ingebretson?
I'm pleased with my answers. I mean, it was.
I think because people want a break to go to session, that we should at least agree to come back after session to continue at least discussing whether or not we should meet again. and to discuss with, you know, I would support meeting again.
Sure.
If I thought, I meant this, that if I thought that there was an opening for somebody to change that we have to find probable cause or vote that there is no probable cause. We have to
right.
come
I'm
to
glad
that
you
place.
Said that. We don't have to find probable cause because if there isn't anything there, we're not going to find it. It's
well,
just not going to happen.
And if we don't ask the right questions, we'll never find it.
There you go. Now we're back to we didn't get the right questions answered, Madam Chair.
That's correct.
So
that's the ones that I'm concerned about. I got my questions answered.
Actually, I that may be true for some of the members, but for me, I voted for probable cause already based on what's written in the complaint. So,
and on that, Senator Sharon, that is why there are both Senator Harrington, I think it's very obvious because of the votes that we took, that Senator Harrington and Senator Sharon have decided that they have found probable cause and have further questions within their minds in order to further an investigation. I mean, so that their questions most likely move on beyond that mm-hmm. because that's why they have further questions because they have in their mind found probable cause within the complaint. And they voted that way.
Right, but not enough, as we were saying, to necessarily find that a violation of the rules has occurred and that there should be response to that, a finding for or a direction. That's the next step. But probable cause, I've already come to that. None of my questions is going to change that perspective.
Exactly.
But
okay,
we'll
so those questions are done. Both of you are fine with the questions that were asked of Senator Pappas and Senator Michelle.
No.
Well, but my understanding is Senator Harrington wants to go on or go further than the questions.
Questions that I couldn't ask oftentimes were questions where the answer from Senator Michelle was vague, and I was therefore precluded from asking questions that would have given me answers that say, okay, yes, that actually makes some sense. If when you say it's all in context, I had real problems with, I don't know what the context is, but I couldn't ask the question of what the context was. I couldn't ask questions about who else was there. Those would have been questions that would have lent towards determining credibility. In the absence of those answers, I made the determination on the facts that I had in front of me. That doesn't mean that if further information or facts were to come forward, I wouldn't be willing to change that. But I've been precluded from asking questions that would get me any more additional information. The motion I made was simply to let's put this in a position where we could ask the questions so that we could all be certain that we've made the right decision. And that motion was voted down. So what we are discussing is coming back to continue an inquiry, which is essentially what I moved before, which was that we needed to continue to make this inquiry until we can make a determination one way or another. And at this point, I think that's what is being discussed, is we're going to come back. We're going to continue asking questions to the extent that we're able to. Given that this is a public meeting, my guess is that we will continue to be precluded from asking questions that might really get to the heart of the matter. And that will mean that we probably will remain deadlocked for the foreseeable future. But I don't think we have to remain deadlocked. I think we simply haven't been allowed to get all of the facts.
And Senator Sharon.
And that the purpose of that would be to move a vote one way or the other. purpose of, we haven't been able to get a majority vote for either no probable cause or probable cause, but the point of continuing to meet and to do inquiry would be to get that moved one way or the other. And what I hear you saying, Senator Harrington, is that you think that that's the right thing to do because to do less would be not serving.
It doesn't serve the public good.
The public good.
So, Madam Chair?
Yes. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
So, the idea of coming back in Senator Harrington's mind then is that we're going to come back and we're going to ask questions of Senator Michelle and Senator Pappas. Is that either accurate or inaccurate?
And Senator Harrington, maybe you could fill, I guess, fill or answer his question for him. I guess I wasn't entirely sure if that was, if we came back, that is what your intent was, or that was your request, or
given the rules that you set up today, mm-hmm. which was that we were not going to make inquiries into facts from Senator Michelle or Senator Pappas, I abided by your rules mm-hmm. and simply stayed within the parameters that you set up, which was what decisions or how could we get to resolution. Depending on how you would set the parameters for what questions are allowed, if there was a reopening of testimonial so that we could ask the questions of them in matters of fact in terms of the case, then I would certainly try and ask the questions that I didn't get answered the first time, which is essentially what I was asking for before. That's the motion to do further inquiry essentially would be to ask, be able to ask the questions that didn't get answered. If we're precluded from doing that, then all that remains is for us to talk to each other about what other avenues there are to continue the inquiry. So, to a large extent, this is determined. The determination is rests on you as to where you will allow lines of inquiry to go.
Well, I think I will say this. It's we all, and I think Senator Sharon has mentioned it, you know, this is a committee of four. Yes, I am the chair of it. But I do think that we have moved through a lot of the process. We allowed presentations from both sides. We allowed questions. Granted, we didn't allow every question simply because of the implications of the legal proceedings, and that was the advice that I was receiving in order to not only to protect the Senate, but those individuals that may be involved in that in those potential proceedings. I think we are at a point where we are at a discussion point. I don't see going back changing the legal proceeding issue. If we go back to a point of questioning, we are probably in the same kind of situation where we run up against those legal issues. I can't imagine that would change, that we would be getting the same kind of advice we had been getting. Senator Harrington.
And I asked this question to Senator Ingebrigtsen. I guess I didn't ask the question to you. But in line with your line of statement that we are boxed in by the outside legal proceeding, is there a reason that no one else has made the motion for the executive session, which would put us in a session where where we could ask those questions but would not necessarily have that information disclosed and therefore would not be adding information to the proceeding legal to the potential legal proceeding.
And is there a reason potentially? I don't know if it affords us complete legal protection. Executive session of a legislative body doesn't necessarily provide legal protection in a court of law, to the best of my knowledge. Would that be
still public?
The executive session would not necessarily provide legal protection in a court of law. That was my understanding.
Madam Chair,
Mr. Bodern,
there is a requirement to record the proceeding, and as I said in the past, the subcommittee has typically voted to provide the recording, to make that recording public. Admissibility in a court of law would be something, I think it would be a question of first impression to be determined by a court, and there's nothing in the Senate rule that would affect that.
So we, my understanding from your statement is that we could go into executive session, and we could vote to not have that information made public.
Yes. Ms. Browder?
Madam Chair and Senator Harrington, there is a separate rule that relates to the requirement for recording Senate committee hearings. It does not contain any kind of cross-reference to the executive session component for subcommittee hearings. I think that's an open question.
I will say, unless you have a follow-up to that, we need to determine. It's 25 after 12 now. So, and I think we've strayed a little bit from just the discussion of whether or not we're coming back. So
I do have one more question to that point.
To that point.
Which is, could the Rules Committee create such a rule that would give the necessary protection for information in an executive session? Or who would have the authority to do that?
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Harrington.
Mr. Bonner.
I can't speak as to whether this would bind a court at all. If the Senate wished to provide some guidance for a court, it could certainly attempt to adopt a rule that would attempt to preclude a court from doing that, but that'd be a final question for a court to determine.
So,
may I just suggest that make a motion that we adjourn or recess, whichever the
until 7 o'clock or half an hour after session.
Half an hour after session.
7 o'clock or.
7 o'clock or.
Half an hour after
half
session.
An hour after
that'll
session.
Get dinner time and things like that. Senator Sharon has made a motion. You have a quick question on that, Senator?
Not on the motion, but on, I'd like to have made a comment with regards to the executive session, the changing of rules Senator Harrington was suggesting, how that process works.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
It's a little
I would
out of
not
order,
be in favor
quickly.
Of anything going into a closed meeting that would not be available for the public at any time for any reason.
Okay.
Now, whether that's responsible or irresponsible, that's just me. The no comment is not part of my vocabulary, unfortunately.
Senator Sharon has moved we recess until 7 o'clock or half an hour after session, whichever is later. All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, no?
No.
Motion does prevail. We are in recess.
So, better wrap up.